If you were ever to choose two people likely to support alternative energy, you wouldn't be far off the mark to select Ron and Sue Bailey. They were from New York City, the East Village, and they wanted a more rural life, a friendlier place to raise their children. So back in the early 70s, they found and restored an old farmhouse about 3 hours' drive north of the city. Now, about 6 years ago, a wind power representative came to their door offering them money if they would agree to the construction of a wind turbine on their land. And at the time, they willingly signed on.
They would come and they would leave literature, and then they would come back and say, "Have you looked at it yet?" And we'd say, "No, we haven't had time to look at it yet." But finally, they came one time, and they said that our neighbor had just signed, a farmer. Now, this dairy farms were going out of business all around us. But this was a dairy farm that seemed to be very prosperous. So we thought, this farmer must be a good business person. He must know that this is a good thing. And that influenced me very much.
And they were offering you money, too, right?
Yes.
Sure. What turned out to be $5,000, $2,000 for a so-called signing bonus, and then $3,000 for the first year of developmental rights.
And they were saying how much money per year after that?
I don't know. It was a guesstimate. We were figuring maybe $6,000 or $7,000 a year at maximum.
And so did they say anything at the time about how many turbines they were thinking of putting on your land?
They were essentially talking one turbine, I think.
Or maybe maximum of three, he told us once. Yeah.
And did they have an idea where they go? Were they saying, hey, one might go over here and another one here? How specific was it?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
We
yeah.
have 120 acres, so there was, they could have spread out two or three.
And we were all for it.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted to help them.
Well, and this was at a time when everybody was talking about going green, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I was, at the time, I was a member of the town planning board, and it seemed to me at that time compatible with maintaining the community, not messing it up much.
We thought we were doing a good thing.
And did you talk much with your neighbors about this? I mean, the dairy farmer you knew had signed, or so the wind company had said. What about folks at the post office and in town? Was this much talked about?
They told us not to.
Sorry, the wind company told you not to?
Yeah. In fact, even before we signed the contract, Ron signed a piece of paper with them saying that he wouldn't talk about it, that it would be confidential.
The nearest turbines were perhaps 80 miles from here, a town called Fenner outside of Syracuse. We have a daughter who lives in, and grandchildren who lives in suburban Syracuse, so when I went to visit them, I made a small detour to go see these turbines. So I drove by. There did not seem to be a lot of noise to me. In fact, I heard a manure wagon going up through the field under one of the turbines. And I thought, well, I came back, in fact, and told my wife that it was making more noise than the turbine. So we signed the contract in January of 2006.
I was really happy to have that $5,000 because I needed some dental work done. And on the way to the dentist, I just detoured a little bit and went up to Fenner to see the turbines for myself for the first time. And it was a kind of a dark, foggy, rainy day. And I got to a crossroads, and suddenly there it was. And it was, it scared me. These huge blades that looked like they were just going to come right down and scoop up things on the ground. And they were going very slowly. And I could just barely see them through the mist. And then I drove toward them, and I drove down a blacktop road that had turbines on both sides, and I turned off the engine, and I rolled down the window, and I just sat there, and then I started hearing this ch, 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 and it wasn't really terribly loud, but I suddenly realized that what I thought, what have we done? I'll be hearing this for the rest of my life, day in, day out. It will always be there, that noise.
So, Sue, did you make up your mind at that point that you'd made a mistake?
Yes, I did.
And she made my life miserable.
And I made it miserable. It wasn't just the sound. It was also the flashing lights. I felt like I was sitting on a runway at Newark Airport waiting for the plane to take off. But, yeah, I made up my mind at that instant that we had made a terrible, terrible mistake. And I came home from the dentist, and I told Ron about it. He was angry at me. He said, well, all right, we'll just send the check back right now. And I said, no. I said, we signed this contract without knowing enough. So I went on the Internet. I started spending up to 4 hours a day reading. And I, of course, was reading what the wind development companies were putting out. And they have very good public relations departments. But mostly what I was looking for was newspapers all over the world who sent reporters out to interview people who lived next to these turbines. And I was getting two very different stories. The wind companies were saying one thing, and the people who were living next to these turbines were saying different things. And in the end, I believed the people.
It wasn't easy for Ron and Sue Bailey to get out of the contract they'd signed or weather the criticism of their neighbors. I'll talk more with them about turning their backs on wind power in just a moment. I'm Dick Gordon from APM American Public Media. This is The Story. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Story. Renewable energy is supposed to be one of those things that we embrace. Wind power, solar power. These things are supposed to be good for the planet, for the country, for all of us. Ron and Sue Bailey would not disagree. Both are politically active. So they were among the first to sign up for a wind turbine on their land. However, once they saw and heard those turbines up close, they changed their minds, and they started to work to prevent the town from allowing such turbines to be installed.
They wanted to put turbines all over the town of Meredith.
20 to start with. I wanted to find out what other people in the town thought. So I went with a young neighbor up and down one road one Sunday, and we knocked on doors and we talked to people, and we found out that nobody wanted these turbines. Finally, this group that I belonged to decided that the only way to get the law changed was to elect a new town board. There was another group in the town at the time that took a different approach. They sued the town.
There were big meetings on the issue, and those meetings had to be switched to a nearby village, Delhi, New York, to find a facility that could accommodate all these people. Several hundred people were coming to these meetings, and it became a huge public issue.
How tense did this get? What do the two of you remember about, you know, a particularly difficult moment when you think back to that time?
May I tell, Ron?
Sure.
That big meeting that Ron just described in Delhi, Ron, I think, spoke maybe during the intermission to the town supervisor, who asked him if he wanted to take it out into the parking lot.
Are you serious?
I'm.
To understand the context of this, the supervisor was a Democrat. I had supported him and his predecessor. We were close, not great personal friends, but certainly political colleagues. So this was extremely difficult.
So how did it come to such tension then?
I don't know.
Don't know. Sue's organization passed around petitions.
In a very short time, we had 700 signatures.
And there were only 1,500 people in the town.
I think we got up over 1,000. I don't remember. But there was one couple who had, I think, an 8-year-old child, and they had let their child sign the petition. members of the town board saw that, and they said, well, that invalidates all of these signatures. They don't mean anything to us. You are wrong, they said. People do want these turbines, and this would be good for the town. So that's why eventually it had to come to the political area.
Money is a key issue here. I can't remember now what the town would have gotten in lieu of taxes, but something maybe over $100,000, Sue. You know, the town budget in those days was maybe $700,000 or $800,000, and so this was an issue. Also, people who wanted to sign contracts or who had signed contracts were going to get money out of it.
This town, this is a small town, Meredith, and you'd raised your kids there. It was, it is home to you. I mean, what was it like to see, to be at these meetings and to see the tempers go up and to think about, you know, do we want to stay? What's going to become of this area?
It was awful. We had yard signs, and there was somebody who went around stealing the signs in the night. We'd hear this old car chugging up our road, and somebody would jump out and steal the sign and drive away.
We had the sheriff's telephone number posted on the post of our bed, and if we heard a car coming up, we would call the sheriff's office and say someone's stealing these signs out here.
In fact, a former sheriff had one of these stolen signs in his yard cut in half. cut in half, just he left the part that said something like yes to green energy, and he cut off the part that said no to turbines. One woman who was opposed to the turbines attended the funeral of somebody who was loved by everyone in the town. And she had sent a nice bouquet of flowers. And there were flowers all around the casket. But someone had taken her bouquet and hidden it behind a screen. It was rough. I was told by a member of the fire department who was in favor of having turbines in the town that if our house caught on fire, he didn't think the fire department would come.
It was very sad. On the other hand, when you get engaged in these things, you know, you become very passionate. I was a member of the town Democratic Committee. A friend of mine was the chairman, and he wanted to give up the chairmanship. And so I said, I'll take it. And I took it, and we then put together a slate of candidates for the election in 2007, pledged to pass a law prohibiting industrial-scale wind turbines, period. And we ran on that platform. I ran for town board, and another person who was in Sue's organization ran for town board, and we won 2-1 in the general election. But, you know, things haven't completely healed. People don't talk about it anymore. I mean, I never hear people talk about wind in the town. And after we were elected, the fall of 2007, our slate, we had a 4-1 majority anti-turbines to 1 pro-turbine. We took office in the beginning of 2008. We held public hearings, and we passed a law banning any turbine higher than 125 feet. We had no problem with people having personal turbines, but we did not want the 400-footers. And since then, people, I don't hear people talk about it at all.
I think people avoid the subject.
Let me ask you something, though, because you're describing your area as very rural. And I know from listening to the radio and reading the newspapers that, you know, the president is completely fired up about wind power. And there are federal tax credits supporting wind turbines. In fact, we're all paying for those, whether we know it or not.
Yes.
And you know, if they're not going to go, if these turbines aren't going to go in a very rural area like Merritt, where are they going to go?
Well, for one thing, when you talk about our town being rural, you don't drive for half an hour and not see a house.
Right.
I mean, you know, houses may be spread out, but they're a quarter mile apart, for example. North Dakota, South Dakota, much of the upper Midwest, these are good places. I am not opposed to wind power. I'm opposed to putting it, you know, right in my backyard where it harms my family. So, you know, I have no nothing basically against wind power.
Sue and Ron Bailey joined me from their home just outside Meredith, New York. Their story is featured in a documentary film called Windfall. You're listening to The Story,